your name on here because I want to hear you pronounce it.
Abraham Verghese.
Verghese.
Yes.
Okay, I would have said the A. Okay.
You want me to hold it?
No, I'm fine because I got to move it back and forth. Okay.
Three, two, one. One of the things that's often said about first novels is that they're autobiographical. In your case, you wrote a couple of books before you wrote this novel. Does that affect the way you write a novel?
Oh, I'm not sure if it did or not. My first two books were memoirs, so in that sense they truly were autobiographical. The novel was also, in a sense, autobiographical. Although I'm not a twin and my mother was not a nun, I was clearly revisiting the geography of my birth and some of the social and political events that I lived through. So the revolution in Ethiopia, the nature of healthcare in America, things like that. So in that sense, it was autobiographical.
It's interesting because this is a look at medical training from when this kid starts, but he's an orphan, so it's also about family. And even when he comes here to become a doctor in the U.S., there's also a sense of family he's trying to create.
Yeah, I would argue that all novels are ultimately about family if they're of any interest. I think, you know, a human being in isolation isn't necessarily as interesting as the connections one has and one desires and the misfires of those connections. So, it's very much about family. Medicine happens to be part of the story, but I think the ambition for any writer is a good story well told. And to make that happen, it's necessary to, you know, have human beings engaged with each other and their environment, family especially.
There's also a sense in the years your character is a doctor in training and becoming a doctor in Ethiopia that he's almost an old-fashioned family doctor. But he comes to the U.S. and settles in the hospital in New York, and he's more of a cog in a medical wheel.
Yeah, I'm very interested in that dichotomy because it's something that we continue to face. I mean, on the one hand, the very nature of medicine is it's supposed to be, you know, not just a fiduciary responsibility that one individual has for another, but also there should be an element of the Samaritan function of being a physician. And one of the interesting things that's happening is we're so good at technology, we're so good at terms of being able to treat disease and look into the body that the human being who possesses the body has almost become an aside. I mean, no one will openly admit that, but certainly the style of medicine, the waste around medicine, is certainly suggestive of that phenomenon.
And you start with an American hospital that takes care of poor people and, as American hospitals for poor people often do, it's staffed by immigrant doctors. Then it turns out his character's father is the great man at what's clearly Massachusetts General Hospital in Boston, and there you have every facility, every staff, you can do anything. It's an interesting contrast.
Yeah, but it's also a very real contrast. And by the way, I'm not admitting that it was Mass General. It was some fancy tertiary hospital that I created. But I think it's very much the sort of the dichotomy in medicine that exists today. There are inner city hospitals, there are less desirable cities where, you know, every year the annual influx of physicians from abroad is necessary to staff them. And if the government takes away that funding, I think we'll be in terrible trouble. Whoever invented it found an ingenious way of supplying healthcare to hospitals that otherwise were in big trouble. But it's a world away from the other hospitals where training takes place. And I think it speaks to the fact that we're just not training enough physicians in this country for the number of positions we actually have.
You also, in each of the three hospitals, have a very strong mentor doctor for your principal character.
I think that's the nature of medicine, that it's about being mentored and mentoring. But I think in having three hospitals, I was also trying to show that even though these hospitals couldn't be more different from each other, in many other ways they're the same. In other words, the nature of the patient-physician relationship transcends geography. It tends to be about the same things wherever you are. What you can actually do can be quite different, but the essential nature of suffering is quite universal.
there's a long tradition of doctors who also write, but it's not a wide tradition in the field. What do other doctors think about, oh, he's the guy down the hall who writes besides taking care of patients and running things?
Well, I'm not sure what they think, because the sad fact is that many physicians, less so in academia, but many physicians don't read. They're not in the habit of reading fiction. They have plenty to read, I suppose, on their own. But I argue, I proselytize and say that reading fiction is particularly important. I always think that, you know, Uncle Tom's Cabin, for example, ended slavery in this country. It wasn't a politician who did that. It wasn't an army. It was one novel that captured the public's imagination and turned the tide. A book called The Citadel in England caused the National Health Service to be created. So, you know, the power of fiction, the power of story to change human lives is profound. And I think, part of our function as physicians, if we have an important message, should be to write.
If one of the doctors you work with reads this book, do they develop a different sense of you as a person?
I'm not sure. I think that me as a person is almost irrelevant. I think what matters is the work on the page. I do think that, you know, my friends and colleagues will tell you that they may be, you know, I don't think they perceive me as being different from them. They have their thing they do, whatever that thing is, be it world-class research or, you know, taking care of their kids. And this is my thing. This is the thing I do. Their golf equivalent, if you like. So we all do different things, and some of those things that we do wish we get attention for are within medicine and some are without. Mine is in this unique position of being outside of medicine to begin with, but in the last couple of years, especially since coming to Stanford, I feel I've been sort of welcomed into the academy in the sense that the writing has come out from the cold. I'm writing from within medicine. I'm writing with the blessing and support of my university, which is a wonderful situation to be in.
There is the sense that you are closer to the patients in the hospital in Addis Ababa than you are in the hospital in New York, or especially in the hospital in Boston, that there's just a greater identity of a patient and doctor.
Yes, but I don't want to be simplistic about it. I mean, the fact is one would trade all that closeness that you might have in Africa to be able to actually change the outcome the way we can here. So I don't think it falls neatly into that kind of a dichotomy where this is bad and that is good. I think the argument I'm trying to make is that as we use the best of technology, and I'm not a Luddite, I love technology, as we do that, we can't lose sight of the fact that the individual we're treating at some level is, wherever they happen to be, is infantilized by this illness. There's a subtext in their conversation to you, and the subtext is, Daddy, Mommy, please help me. Tell me it's not going to get worse. Tell me I'm going to be all right. I mean, that's just the nature of human beings. And that sort of pastoral function of the physician, the Samaritan function of the physician, can, in our modern-day self-consciousness, that can actually be in danger. And yet it's such a critical part of being a physician. I mean, you wouldn't think of, you know, having priests run churches who do it all in an automated fashion from a remote control computer. I mean, being a pastoral priest means hospital visits and nursing home visits and, you know, the rituals of funerals. And in a sense, we have to be careful not to lose the rituals that are terribly meaningful to the patient, even if they've lost some of their significance for us.
Thank you, Abraham Verghese.
Thank you for having me.